Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. Thirty-seven past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. Good morning and welcome. I'm Austin Hill, honored to be with you weekday morning 6 till 8 Central Time as we strive to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful, even as we look at the world and all that's going on in it. If you're a parent or a grandparent, you've probably felt at times that, rather hopeless in the face of a young person, perhaps a teenager, who back talks and becomes very disrespectful and rude. How do you handle that one? How do you negotiate, even in an element where you want to celebrate the child's individuality and affirm their right to have an opinion and such? How do you deal with disrespectful backtalk, disrespectful speech? And what is an appropriate consequence for that kind of behavior? John and Kendra Smiley are authors, counselors, parents, and grandparents. They join us once again on our guest line. Good morning, John and Kendra. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How do you define disrespectful speech in the parent-child relationship? Where do you start with that?
Well, I think that that is kind of up to every individual family. You know, is it kind of that sassy attitude? And sometimes, actually, Austin, it's not just the words that are spoken, but it's the attitude at which that the child has when the words are spoken.
It can be merely the rolling of the eyes, as we all know as parents.
That's right. And so it has to be, you know, I think the definition of disrespectful has to be one that's established by mom and dad.
Right. Disrespectful communication might be a better way to think about it.
Yes.
What about the breaths, the sighs, those kinds of, you know, nonverbal but audible nonetheless sorts of expressions, you know, that sort of convey, oh, you are so disgusting to me. I can't believe you even asked that question, Dad.
You really got that down, Austin.
You'd think I'm parenting a teenager, right?
In our family, with all boys, they didn't do any eye rolling. I don't know if that's a kind of a just a girl thing. It probably is. But what they used to do was when they wanted to cut off the conversation where maybe they were being corrected about something, especially the oldest one would look at me and say, fine. And that just meant, that was not quite disrespectful, but it meant, I'm done discussing this. And I remember thinking, no, wait, you're not in charge of when we're done or not. And finally I got to the point where I'd say, don't you fine me, young man. That was not appropriate.
Right, and I think when we look at the communication from whomever it be, a teenager or older or younger, whether it be, you know, that person saying, oh, you know, that's so disgusting, or whatever it is, you're so uninformed, you're so not hip, or actually, well, a lot of times what that is trying to communicate is, boy, you're so stupid. And what we get to with this is the confidence of parents. And a lot of times young people are trying to undermine that confidence. And it's something that parents need to think about, because when that disrespect is shown, usually with most all parents, that maybe it's just a very quick thought, but that the idea of how confident I am as a parent, am I making a mistake? Mm-hmm. And so we want to think about that. We don't want to allow our kids to undermine our confidence, because confident in parenting is critical.
It would seem that way, yes. John and Kendra Smiley, parents, grandparents, counselors extraordinaire. They're on our guest line once again here on the Faith Radio Network. All right, so we want to figure out what is disrespectful speech, whether it involves actual utterance of words or body language or other gestures. But once we've defined it, where do we go from there to set some ground rules and say, this kind of behavior, whatever it may be, this is just unacceptable in our household? How do we do that?
Well, mom and dad have to be in agreement. That is huge. Every child, I don't know how early it starts, but very young, they know how to play divide and conquer. And so mom and dad have to be on the same page. So you've defined as mom and dad, okay, this is what really is a disrespectful speech.
Right, and I think a lot of times between mom and dad, one parent thinks it's cute and the other parent might think it's disrespectful. And that we need to get over as well. It's not funny. It's not cute. And like Kendra said, mom and dad need to talk about this and realize that they need to be in agreement.
So they've done that. You know, they've defined in their words, in their minds, what disrespectful speech or disrespectful behavior is. Then they've got to make some other decisions. Are we going to give this kid a warning when we see or hear this? Or are we going to go straight to whatever the consequence is going to be, which is the third thing they have to really talk through? And so those sorts of things, that agreement is very important between mom and dad.
Right, and I think after the agreement is communicating this with the kid to so that the child knows what the parents deem as disrespectful. And Kendra was saying, you know, whether or not they give a warning, there's another thing about disrespect and eye rolling or whatever it might be. A lot of times with kids, it becomes habitual. It's a habit. And so Kendra and I think that probably when parents are dealing with this, a warning is appropriate because, yes, you've defined it to the child. This is disrespectful. We're not going to tolerate this in our home. And then when that child does that, bring it to their attention. You just rolled your eyes in a disrespectful way. You were just demeaning. You were whatever it is. Give that child a warning so that they say, oh, yeah, I just did that, and then the consequence comes after that. So not only the idea of mom and dad getting together, but make sure, mom and dad, that you're communicating this to that child.
John and Kendra Smiley, what is an appropriate consequence once we've defined the behavior that's unacceptable and we've identified it when it happens? What's an appropriate consequence to say to our son or daughter, when this happens, here's how we will respond? Where do we go with that?
Well, it's interesting because this is actually a question that we got from a listener, perhaps one of your listeners, Austin, and the dad was really upset because this had happened as he was taking his daughter to the junior high youth group at church. And the question that he asked us was, should I have taken her home right away? Well, I'm not so sure that, you know, we're going to punish you. You can't go to church. No, probably, in fact, I'm sure that's not the best consequence to give. We have to pay attention to our individual child when we determine what a consequence is going to be because we want it to be effective. And what's effective with one child may or may not be effective with another child. John and I use the phrase all the time, the sentence, be a student of your child. And it is amazing. We raised three sons in the same mom, same dad, same household, same community. Wouldn't they be more alike? No, not necessarily.
Yeah, very interesting. John and Kendra Smiley, parenting experts, counselors, and authors. They're on the guest line here on Faith Radio as we talk about disrespectful speech and other sorts of even nonverbal sort of disrespectful behaviors. We'll talk more about dealing with that in appropriate and effective ways with kids and grandkids when we come back. 45 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Don't go anywhere.
Back to Austin Hill in the morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
48 minutes past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill, honored to be with you weekday mornings. John and Kendra Smiley, a married couple, parents, grandparents, professional counselors, and authors. They are on our guest line talking about how, as parents and grandparents, we can respond appropriately and effectively with appropriate consequences when the young people in our lives are disrespectful. Yeah, I want to ask both of you a question. This came out of a conversation I was having with one of my peers, another father who is raising a teenager, and we were both kind of, I guess, kind of commiserating because we sort of arrived at the conclusion that our respective kids are probably disrespectful to us in ways that they are not disrespectful to other adults in their lives. And this other dad was saying to me, man, if, you know, my daughter treated her teachers the way she treats me, I'd be hearing about it. Or if my son behaved the way he does at home while he's at his part-time job, he would have been fired a long time ago. Is it customary that moms and dads are the recipient of the disrespectful behavior in ways that other adults are not?
Yeah, some of that I would say is yes, that it's a time that, you know, kids at home, obviously our home is a safe haven. It's where mom and dad love them unconditionally or should. And so, you know, they might be able to say things at home that they wouldn't say on a job, or they wouldn't say to a teacher, that they would say to us. But I think mom and dad are the ones that decide how far that can go. And I think when that goes over the boundary, when mom and dad allow that beyond the point of the idea that that child is totally disrespectful, and I know that may not make a whole lot of sense, but I think mom and dad are the ones setting those guidelines for the kids. And I think a lot of times that Kendra and I have seen, mom and dad let those go too far. They allow the child to be more disrespectful, I think, than they should. But again, that guideline is set up by mom and dad.
You know, it's interesting. It made me, your comments, Austin, made me think of a cartoon I had on our fridge for a long time. Little boy's kind of moping around, and mom says, "What's wrong?" And he says, "Nobody loves me." And the mom says, "Well, I love you." And he says, "Well, of course, that's your job."
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of ways, that's what our kids think. And it is, it's our privilege, it's our responsibility, and in a lot of ways, that can be taken just for granted by kids. And as John said, we still set those boundaries, and they need to be set, the model for it needs to be set at home.
Right, and I think as a dad, like, in, you know, when if you're commiserating and you're talking about that with another dad, you know, does it make you feel bad? How does that, you know, is it something, is that disrespect going over the line? And I think that's the question as we look at parent to parent, we're asking, is it, are they pushing the boundary? Have they pushed, have they gone, have they crossed the line? And
right.
We need to bring that up to them.
In terms of the parents setting appropriate boundaries, imposing appropriate consequences, how do we know if the boundaries or the consequences, either one, are too rigid? How do we know if we're just, you know, we're a little too uptight about things here?
Well, I think that's when it really comes in handy to have two parents, mom and dad. Definitely, John and I would have a lot of little summit meetings between the two of us. There were areas where I would fall off the ledge, so to speak, too soon, and there are areas where John fell off the ledge too soon. And so getting that, being able to talk with one another as adults away from the child and make those decisions, that's a huge help.
Yeah, that is absolutely, I feel, the answer to that, because I think, Austin, what you said is exactly right, that we get wound up a little bit too tight and we may be a little bit too rigid, and we need somebody. It's like anything else. It's an interesting thing in parenting that we don't, if our spouse is not, if we're not helping each other, mm-hmm. there isn't anybody else usually helping us. And in everything else, like jobs that we have, there's evaluation with communication. And this is one of those areas that it's critical that mom and dad, you know, are helping one another. And if mom's saying to dad, "Hey, you know, you're going a little bit overboard there," or dad saying back to mom, very, very crucial.
Yeah, it's interesting because your kids are going to be aware of the fact that you're modulating one another and that you're willing to work together as an adult, as adults, excuse me. I got a phone call one day from one of our kids. It was his first job out of college, and it was a rough job. And I answered the phone. He said, "I need to talk to Dad. I'm on the ledge. I need him to talk me in." He had seen, or he was aware of the fact that sometimes we talked one another off the ledge in our perhaps overboard reaction to something the kids had done. And he knew that he was able to get that kind of help from his dad.
Yeah, very interesting. If parents don't get the boundaries and the consequences right, either we're too harsh or we're too permissive, shall we say, what are the possible consequences for our child's life going forward?
Well, they are great, and they are many, and it's a big job. It's the hardest job you'll ever, never get paid for, except you do, I guess, as they grow up to be adults. There's three sentences, I think, that are really impactful. One is this: rules without relationship leads to rebellion, and that's the person that goes off the deep end. Relationship without rules leads to chaos. And the third statement, rules with relationship leads to respect. And
mm-hmm.
we want our children to respect us, and we want to ultimately be able to respect our children.
Right, and I think that's one of the reasons it's so critical that moms and dads are talking with the Lord about
Amen.
The decision, the wisdom that they have, because, as Kendra said, it's so critical, and our kids are the ones that pay the price if we don't get it right.
Mm. Great wisdom as always. John and Kendra Smiley, they are parenting experts. They've done it. They continue to do it as grandparents. They are counselors and authors. You can find their writing on this subject. It's entitled simply Appropriate Consequence. We've got it for you at myfaithradio.com. That's our network website, myfaithradio.com. Look for John and Kendra Smiley. John and Kendra, as always, thanks so much. Great to hear from you. Thank you for your wisdom.
Thank you, Austin.
Thanks. You have a great day, Austin.
And you as well. 54 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. Good morning. It's Wednesday. Glad you're with us. I am Austin Hill. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.